Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another week of Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Thank you so much for joining us. This week is going to be very exciting. But I want to begin by just giving you listeners a little bit of information. If you want to get a hold of us, if you want to reach out, if you want to look at some of what we're doing as Bride Ministries, our website is www.bridemovement.com. At that website, you will find the link to my blog. You'll find the link to audio teachings, some video teachings. You'll even find links to this radio program and its archives where you can listen to some of our guests and subjects from past weeks. We've had a string of incredible guests thus far that have really given us some deeper insights, some powerful testimonies, and we hope to continue in the same direction. Now, my books are Noah's Ark in the End of Days and Wounded by Leadership. I want you to know that those are available and relevant books. Noah's Ark in the End of Days deals with the last days and how we find types and shadows, and also, as we'll be talking about today, the repetitive agendas that we find occurring in Noah's day and also occurring in the last days. Wounded by Leadership deals with how to overcome the wounds that we take from injurious leadership figures and authority figures in our lives. Honestly, I don't know a single Christian that has not been through a difficult situation with some kind of leadership in their lives. And this is why I wrote the book. So I want to make sure that everyone that's listening is available, understands that these books are available and where they can get them. You can get them at my website, amazon.com. Barnes & Nobles, all these places. Now, without taking any more time with that, I want to begin to introduce this week's subject and what we're going to be talking about. We have to understand that the Word of God is the living Word. It speaks today, it spoke yesterday, and it will continue to speak to us tomorrow. It never becomes stale, stagnant, and it never runs out of wisdom. Now, the thing is that as society progresses, sometimes there are things in the Word of God that we can't understand yet. There are things that we have to have the veil removed from our eyes, so to speak, in order to understand certain ramifications of what God is actually communicating. And what we find is that as it becomes relevant, God actually has been in the process of unveiling more and more of his wisdom regarding things that former generations didn't even have to deal with or have to consider. But as new generations come, new issues are being raised in the earth, new problems, we have to continue to look to the Word of God to find those relevant truths. And this week, we're going to have a guest discussing certain things that many of us have thus far not even been aware exist. Frankly, have never thought that there would be such a thing and that we might find answers to these things from the Word of God. So I just want to bring to your attention a brief story in the Bible so we kind of have the right approach as we're about to listen to some of these things being discussed. There is a story in the book of Acts about two people named Aquila and Priscilla. And there was another man named Apollos, and he later on went on to become a great apostle. And he began, though, as an eloquent Jew. The Bible says that he was an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. And he was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. But he only knew the baptism of John. What I want to bring out there is that this was an eloquent man. He knew a lot, but he didn't know everything. He did not know everything there was to know. And there are a lot of Christians that know a lot, but they don't know everything that there is to know. You may be someone that has heard a lot. You've sat through a lot of sermons. But we, all of us, none of us, know all that there is to know. And so what happened was he was speaking boldly in the synagogue, and Aquila and Priscilla heard what he was saying. They then took him, and what the Bible says is they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And what I want to do is just help us to come to a place where we say, you know what, if this could happen to a great apostle in the first church, it could happen to me. I can be open to hearing things that maybe I've never heard, so that I understand the way of truth more perfectly, so I understand the truth of what's going on in this world more perfectly, and so I'm more prepared to deal with the issues that are coming on the earth. Now, the story goes that he received it, and I think that's where we need to be this week. The fact of the matter is that when we're mighty in Scripture, it's still possible that we can be shown a more perfect way. This week, we're going to talk with our special guest, who I'll be introducing in just a second, and he's going to bring across a lot of new information. What I want to encourage you is don't be afraid of it. Take it to God. Seek him regarding his plan in light of it, and that's what's important. It's my prayer that, like Apollos, many of us will be exposed to this information that's going to be discussed today, will be empowered to go forth with greater boldness, greater effectiveness for Jesus, and actually to give God more credit for just how powerful he is, to understand that he's greater than all of these things. Our guest this week is Dr. Preston Bailey Jr. Now, he was a guest on our opening program, and he impressed us all with his deep understanding of deliverance, dissociative identity disorder, and related topics. Now, this week, we're going to go much deeper into his knowledge base, so to speak. We only tapped the tip of the iceberg last time. This program isn't for the light of heart. I'm not going to apologize about that. We're going to go into deep things. Now, Dr. Bailey is the author of Spiritual Warfare, Defeating the Forces of Darkness. He's an expert on satanic ritual abuse, dissociative identity disorder, And he's even trained police departments about satanic ritual activities. He's been a consultant with law enforcement on occult-related crime. He was appointed by the governor as the chairman of the Task Force on Child Abuse, later appointed on the Juvenile Anti-Crime Task Force to help reduce juvenile crime in Florida. He's a conference speaker and researcher. He's counseled thousands of demonized people and hundreds who were ritually abused. Dr. Bailey, thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here, Daniel.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Every time we talk, it's like more veils are being taken away from my eyes. I'm just really excited to have you on the program and allow you to share all of your insights with our listeners. Now, I got quite a bit to talk about today, but what I want to begin with is allowing you to share some current events, because we were talking about this earlier, and I think this is some really important stuff. You were explaining certain implications regarding Syria and some ties that there are in kind of like our higher levels of government. Can you talk about that for a little while?
Well, I counseled a number of people in North America who become Christians and are coming out of the Illuminati. I've also counseled people from Germany that are in the Illuminati. They all tell me the same thing. Of course, Christians today want to know about who is the Antichrist. I believe that, along with most Christian leaders in America, that now is the time, the stage set up for the Antichrist to come into power. Because the Patriot Act that was passed under the veil of Muslim terrorism, all of the laws necessary for the Antichrist to come into power in the United States are already in place. There is no more privacy in the United States. In fact, Obama passed the Obamacare bill, and several in the coming out of the Illuminati told me that the Illuminati's plan has nothing to do with health care. In fact, it's going to be very difficult for Obamacare to improve the health of Americans, because there's going to be at least 20 million more being treated than there's a shortage of medical doctors now. So how will 20 million more in the system improve health care? Well, that's insanity. They tell me that the reason Obama cast Obamacare is so that every American will be in one database, and in that database is private information that many husbands and wives do not even tell each other. What is in that database about your health that you would never tell your neighbor is in there. So starting January the 1st, Obama requires every medical provider to have all of your medical records in this one database that is under control directly of the White House. Now, that's unheard of. It's not under control of the Department of Health. It's under control of the president. That's insanity. I've read the 1,700 plus pages of the health care bill, and it has little to do with health and more to do with control of American people and many sectors of the American way of life. But what's interesting is many of these people coming out of the Illuminati tell me that I ask them, because I'm curious, like all the other Christians, and there's much discussion, is Obama the Antichrist? And they say, no, he's not the Antichrist. He is not intelligent enough to be the Antichrist. If you know what goes on, most of what he says is from a teleprompter.
That's true.
He's not a deep thinker. He just reads from a teleprompter. I mean, anybody can do that. And he's when he's off teleprompter, he says some foolish things. But they say that the Antichrist is standing right behind Obama. That means if Obama is reelected, then Obama will see that the Antichrist comes into power and that the laws of the Antichrist will be passed simply by executive order. We've already heard Obama say to Medvedev, the leader of Russia, when he said to him, just wait till after the re-election and when it will be easier for me to do things with Putin. Now, I think one of those things he's referring to is when Obama took office, there were 3,000 to 4,000 nuclear weapons in our stockpile. Obama has cut that in half, so there's only about 1,500. Obama has already said that when he is reelected, he will take that stockpile down to 300 or even zero. Well, that's insanity, considering every day in the news, it is a big issue all over the world that the psychotic leadership in Iran is building a nuclear bomb. Some say that they will have the fission material for at least 10 nuclear weapons. They already have the missiles. North Korea has a bomb, has already threatened the United States. Putin in Russia has threatened if we put an anti-ballistic missile in Europe, they will attack it directly. Just 3 weeks ago, in the Gulf of Mexico, a nuclear-powered submarine with nuclear missiles was inside the Gulf of Mexico, inside the United States, for 2 weeks on some secret mission. The wealth of the United States military never detected it until it was leaving the Gulf of Mexico and it surfaced, and that's when it was spotted. They could have fired a missile from underwater, and within 7 minutes, those nuclear missiles could have hit any large city in the United States with nuclear weapons. So it is insane for the U.S. military to cut one nuclear weapon. Now, I know there's people out there who are lovey-dovey and don't want any nuclear weapons and want to live in peace and hug each other and sing kumbaya, but it doesn't work that way in the real world. Pakistan has nuclear weapons. India has nuclear weapons. North Korea has nuclear weapons. Iran is getting nuclear weapons. China has nuclear weapons. Russia has nuclear weapons. They are all building up their military while we're devastating ours. In fact, starting January the 1st, there's going to be a major gut of the U.S. military. So this is this is the very worst time in the history of the United States to get rid of any nuclear weapons, much less gut the military. So I think I think that the Illuminati wants the military of the United States to be weakened so they can take it over.
Really?
Yes, and I have the last 2 weeks received people from all over the world that I know have been sending me reports here and there, and not from American source, not one of them, was that Russian and Chinese troops have landed in Mexico along our U.S.-Mexican border, like they're getting prepared for something. And they show me photographs of Russian and Chinese airplanes and troops. So, you know, what are they getting ready for? Also, what's interesting is since Obama has become president, he has promoted the religion of Islam. Since he's been president in 4 years, he has promoted the religion of Islam more in the last 4 years than all of the presidents combined in 200 years. I was just going over last night the list of all of it, and it's amazing. He says, on one hand, he's a Christian, but he really attended a church for 20 years. In fact, his children were baptized in that church. He considered him a mentor, and he pushes black theology, which is really a type of an anti-white theology.
Sure.
Everyone heard Reverend Wright say, GD, damn America. And can you imagine that in his sermon? That's just isolated.
Pretty terrible. Well, you know, you've said some really interesting things. The idea that that it would be an Illuminati plan to reduce America's troops in order to destroy America is actually kind of a different approach than other people have concluded. I've heard other people say, you know, ultimately there's going to be war and American troops are actually going to be used against American people. But here, you're saying that they actually want to weaken our forces so that other forces can also invade. I guess either way, the Illuminati don't really want America as it stands.
No, just imagine the leader of any foreign country in the 4 years he became leader promoting a religion that was foreign to that country. The residents of that country would be hostile. Can you imagine, for example, in Egypt, if the new president of Egypt started cramming Christianity down everyone's throat? Well, I'll tell you what happened. There would be hundreds of thousands of people protesting in the streets, and they would try to kill him. He wouldn't get anywhere. But in fact, Obama personally led the campaign of the Arab Spring to get the leaders out of these Arab countries that was actually pro-Western. Mubarak of Egypt had been allies of the United States for 20 years. And so were these other Arab countries. What happens? Obama rises on the scene. He leads the attack on Libya on the premise that 50 people have been killed. Now, over 20,000 people have been killed in Syria, and Obama has not put one soldier in there. Over 20,000 citizens murdered, and he does nothing. 50 people are killed in Libya. He sends the American military in there. Just flying of the planes cost over $1 billion. And so he gets the Muslim Brotherhood in Libya to take control. They brutally murder Gaddafi. Now, he's not one of my friends, but they brutally murdered him, and they take over the country. So what happens? One of the first things they do is they brutally assassinate the U.S. ambassador and three Navy SEALs. Now, who was it that promoted and had the military invade Libya? It was solely Obama. Now, why would that be? I think that's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
So now, a Muslim Brotherhood that is hostile towards Christianity and the West is now in control. The same happened in most of the other Arab countries where Obama publicly, all you have to do is go back and look at his speeches, he publicly promoted the Arab Spring.
Sure.
That means an overthrow of U.S. governments, of the overthrow of Arab governments that were pro-Western. He wanted them to be Muslim Brotherhood leaders that promote Sharia. That's Muslim law. Sharia law puts women down in the same category as property.
Mm-hmm.
So every woman in all of these countries should oppose Sharia. Because in the book of the Quran, I read the whole book of the Quran, it says, if a woman doesn't do everything her husband says, she should be beaten and locked in her room until she complies. And I haven't heard one single women's organization get up and speak up against Sharia law and Islam being promoted by the president in the United States. They must not know history or read very much.
Right. Now, we got about 2 minutes before we go to our first break. But before we do that, you said how our president is kind of doing these things, but there's some interesting ties and influences that kind of take us back to Syria. Would you mind touching on that for about 2 minutes before we go to our first break?
Yes. Let me touch on that. Now, in the White House,
mm-hmm.
the senior staff member that influences the President of the United States is Valerie Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
She is the main influence on anything he does, any bill, any of his actions. On 1914, 1956, she was born in Shiraz, Iran. So Valerie Jarrett, that you hear about quoted on TV almost every day, She was born in Iran. And after she graduated from college, she works in Chicago for Mayor Harold Washington. And then later, she was the deputy chief of staff for Mayor Richard Daley. Then she hired Michelle Robinson, who was engaged to Barack Obama at the time. Now, here she is from Chicago bully politics, and then when Obama is elected president, here she becomes the most influential person to the president of the United States. Now, when Obama was in Chicago, he bought $1.5 million house. What's interesting is everybody knows and jokes about that he was a community organizer. His community organizer salary was $17,000 a year. How did he buy $1.5 million house for $17,000 a year? Well, the answer to that is Tony Resco. Tony Resco even bought the empty lot next door and sold it to Obama, the future president of the United States, for a little bit of nothing. Tony Resco has been indicted on the counts of racketeering. We would call it working with the Chicago Mafia. And now he's in prison. Tony Resco was born in Syria, right where there's fighting right now. Now, Iran is the ally of Syria. Iran is sending troops and money and resources every day to Syria. The reason being is Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction was moved to Syria before the invasion. In fact, last week, Assad in Syria threatened to release them on those that he's fighting in surrounding countries. So they have weapons of mass destruction. And Iran is working with them where Valerie Jarrett was born. And the Bible says clearly in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that it is Persia or Iran that will invade Israel. And Obama is the first president in history, the first and only, that has Muslims on his staff. He even has several Muslims that have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood in his leadership in Homeland Security, which is insanity.
And, wow.
And since they've been on there, we've heard in the news of one leak of top secret information after another. So this is the craziest thing you've ever heard. And what happened? The Obama gave a check for $2 billion. That's not million, $2 billion to the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood when they took over control in Egypt. And now the head of Egypt spoke to the UN yesterday, and he says, "We will not allow in any country of the world anyone who speaks against Mohammed." Well, in the United States, we have the freedom of speech, and we can criticize anyone. And I don't know why Obama is pushing their radical agenda, and these people helped murder 3,000 Americans on 9/11.
That is just fascinating information. We're going to go to break. If you're listening, there are a lot of points that he made, a lot of dots to connect. It's crazy. Yes, it does continue to look like we are getting closer and closer to what Ezekiel prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which our guest even referenced last week. Now we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Preston Bailey. Don't miss it. Everything you got. All right, welcome back to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. We're speaking with our very special guest, Dr. Preston Bailey. Now, Dr. Preston Bailey has been relaying to us some quite incredible information, stuff you're definitely not going to get on a front page of your news, regarding all kinds of things pertaining to certain things that our current president is doing, ties that he has, politics going on overseas. But you know, Preston, you're more than just a simple researcher. And as you even mentioned, you know, you have certain contacts, people that are in the Illuminati, telling you, giving you information, a lot of inside sources that some would consider unconventional. Now, I really want to explore this because a lot of people don't understand exactly why, you know, you would begin to get some of this information, how it comes, how some of this information is relayed through the dissociative identity disorder aspect of some of these people. And so can you explain dissociative identity disorder kind of briefly again for our listeners? And you really did a good job last time, but also its role in the plans of the Illuminati, certain elements of the government and even New World Order agendas, and how you are kind of, you know, getting some of this information from these people.
Dissociative identity disorder is simply a term that if a person is abused before the age of seven, they will often, not every time, they'll often develop dissociative identity disorder. Dissociation means separation, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
So the trauma or the abuse is so severe that the brain of a young child cannot handle it. So when they are abused physically, sexually, ritually, or other means, then their brain dissociates. The trauma dissociates or separates from the conscious part of the brain to the subconscious part, and the trauma causes an amnesic barrier or a wall of amnesia around the memory that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then people in a satanic cult or in a religious cult or any group access that part of them that has those memories, and they program them. In fact, under the Freedom of Information Act, the government has confessed that in the 60s and 70s that they actually did programming of children, and they did programming of people in the United States military. They did what's called MK Ultra programming and Monarch programming. You can look that up in the internet, and you'll find we've got hundreds of thousands of pages from the U.S. government that shows that, yes, our U.S. government premeditatively, from the president on down to the high-ups in the military, actually programmed people using drugs, using hypnosis, using movies, etc., to program people, and they were trying to develop a super soldier or an assassin.
Absolutely true. And for those of you that are listening, there are people that have come out and written books about their experience going through these programs. Some people that you can even like Google on YouTube or whatever that openly talk about this. Duncan O'Finowin, this is the guy. He's not even Christian, but honestly, he went through this and he talks about it. He actually came out on the other side. There's a book that came out called Transformation of America, where the authors, they write about the woman who went through this program, MK Ultra, and if you read that, you can walk away from it saying she's a liar. I mean, wow, I certainly couldn't. It just blew me away. So there's quite a few testimonies out there available to verify what Dr. Preston is saying. But please, go ahead.
But this is irrefutable evidence from the U.S. government themselves under the Freedom of Information Act that they, on purpose, tried to program people. I'll never forget during the Democratic National Convention, one of the ardent supporters of Hillary Rodham Clinton for president, this was just watching the evening news in front of the convention. They had a sign that says, "Obama, the Manchurian Candidate." The Manchurian Candidate is a person that has been programmed for years to carry out their position. What's interesting is most people have not heard of this, but anything I say, it may sound new, but it is actually old information. It is not new. It's just that the news media, who's working for the evening news.
Sure.
People often say, well, if it's not on the evening news, then it cannot be true. Well, I say, if it's on the evening news, then it probably is not true as the way they present it. But what's interesting is we talk about the last days. In Revelation chapter 3, it tells about the seven churches of the last days. And it says that it talks about the synagogue of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And God recorded in Revelation 3 that the synagogue of Satan was wicked. So, historically, the synagogue of Satan is called the altar of Zeus. Z-E-U-S. Zeus, the Greek god. So, the altar of Zeus is the archaeological event of the synagogue of Satan mentioned in Revelation 3. Well, in the late 1800s, German archaeologists actually found the altar of Zeus in Turkey. They bought it from the Turkish government and moved it stone by stone to Berlin, Germany. And they built a massive museum there called the Pergamus Museum. It's called the Pergamus Museum because in Revelation 3, it listed the synagogue of Satan under the addressing of the Church of Pergamus. So, anyway, it is the altar of Zeus, the synagogue of Satan, was moved to Berlin, Germany. There have only been two people who have spoken at the altar of Zeus in all of history. It is moved to Berlin at the Museum of Pergamus in Berlin. You can go there. And it has these massive pillars, and it has a pulpit type, an altar, where you can speak from. Adolf Hitler spoke from that same pulpit, which in the Bible is called a throne.
Fascinating.
But Adolf Hitler spoke from this throne or pulpit that is a part of the altar of Zeus, which Revelation 3 records as the synagogue of Satan. What's interesting, there is a second person in history who spoke to 100,000 people identical to Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany, and that was Senator Barack Hussein Obama. Actually,
yeah, I remember.
From the altar of Zeus, the synagogue of Satan in Berlin, Germany. He was so impressed with the Museum of Pergamus and the altar of Zeus, when he was nominated from the Democratic National Party in Denver, Colorado, he insisted that a reenactment of on the stage of the altar of Zeus, the synagogue of Satan, be put on the Democratic platform in Denver when he was nominated for President of the United States. And it's really eerie. On the internet, you can see actual photographs of the stage set up when Obama was nominated for president. And if you compare them to the altar of Zeus, the synagogue of Satan in Berlin, Germany, it looks identical because that's what they were modeled after.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little scary, but
that is crazy. But now going back to dissociative identity disorder as its role in the Illuminati, certain elements of the military and New World Order agendas. You've done a great job of explaining to us that, yes, this is true, this is real. Actually, there's irrefutable evidence from our own government saying that this is part of what's been done. Now, you also explained very well that what it does is it kind of fragments a person's inner core where they have parts now because of the trauma that they suffer. Now, how does it work out that multiple personalities within an individual that been succumbed to this kind of process can have different knowledge bases?
Yes. It used to be called multiple personality disorder, but at Harvard Medical School, I studied under the man who actually came up with the new term, dissociative identity disorder, Dr. Richard Kluft. And he says, this is what he told us in class, he said it's technically not multiple personalities. He said there's only one personality, it's just split into different sections, or it dissociates or separates in and affects their identity. So they talk to people as if they are one or the other personality types. So that's why it's called dissociative identity disorder.
Mm-hmm.
But once through trauma or abuse or something like that, once a personality is created, a cult group, satanic group, military group, religious group, take that personality, and it is like a child. A child can learn much faster than an adult. For example, at church, a woman came from Brazil, and she spoke a foreign language. Her daughter was 5 years old and spoke at that fluently, but also spoke English fluently. So whenever I wanted to talk to the mother, I spoke to the child, 5 years old, and she translated that into her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And many people I've talked to through the years who are multilingual, they say that actually the best way to learn a language, a new language, is as a child. Many children raised in a bi-language culture are really great fluent speakers in two languages. So when you're a child, you learn a lot. And because children can be focused. So each of these personalities that are dissociated and created, they focus their mind just like a child would. So they can learn reams of information because it is not cluttered by other things that someone who does not have DID. We have a lot of other factors and things that we remember, but when a person has DID, that altar, you may have like an altar that remembers just medical things. And they don't remember anything else. It's like I talked to someone with dissociative identity disorder last night, and I asked her a question that said, and the altar said, I don't have access to that information because that was another category.
Fascinating.
So they each have different categories. It is similar to the way a computer functions.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, some of these children, they are programmed specifically to be like a computer. Of course, there's not a physical computer in their brain.
Mm-hmm.
But because they dissociate, they can be programmed like a computer and store vast amounts of information, and it's like the immediate memory of the brain stores 7 different parts of information, but you can keep stacking information within those 7 categories. So the first level is 49, then it would be 49 times 49 and keep expanding it so that you have gigabytes of information inside of a human brain. So it's relatively easy to program something using hypnosis everybody has seen on television, a stage magician who uses hypnosis, and these people bark like a dog or do something else that they would not normally do. That's hypnosis. And then they use drugs, they inject drugs in them, mind-altering drugs to program them. And now, with vast technology, they even have computers that they hook wires up to their brain, and they can control them or program them through a computer, and they can even use virtual reality to a computer, and they put it in like a mask on their face, and their brain thinks in pictures, so they're programmed very fast that way. Just like children's games are often virtual reality, because they can learn quickly.
This is so interesting. Now, I remember another book I read. It was called Thanks for the Memories by a woman who used the pseudonym Bryce Taylor. And in her experience, what she talked about was exactly that, being used as a computer or a mind file. And she had a certain thing where the person would stab her between her knuckles with like a pin or something and ask her a question. And because of the dissociation in her, she would actually have the information come up just like almost like a computer file. Now, you actually, I remember because you shared this with me the first time I met you, counseled someone that had a certain kind of mind file, you could call it, detailing information about the conspiracy to kill John F. Kennedy. Now, I know that sounds crazy to those of you that are listening, but if you mind, just say a few words about that, Doctor.
Yes. I was counseling a woman who had SRADID, Dissociative Identity Disorder from Satanic Ritual Abuse. She had been programmed by the director of psychology at one of the leading universities in the United States. So many people in the Illuminati, they had themselves in universities to affect their students' minds. They also hide in universities to do programming that they would not normally be able to do in a public laboratory. So this professor was one of those in the Illuminati, and he programmed this woman so that her brain was like a computer. I build my own computers, so I know a lot about them. So what I did is I had her sit at my computer, and I simply taught her a program I have that it helps you find any file on your computer. And I taught her this very simple program, how to use it so that with simple manipulation, you can find every file in there, and you can read it. And it's, you know, the average person wouldn't have it, but it is, it's a very technical program, but it's very simple to use. So what I did was, once she learned it, a specific altar learned that. So I taught that altar how to use this program. So then what I did is her computer system had a password to get in, to access it. And just like many people with SRADID, they have codes or passwords that you have to get in it and get the information in order to help the person. So I simply I said access the computer inside her brain. And I said, not a physical computer, it's how she was programmed. I said, I prayed that God would put in the password to this computer. And so God did. I have no idea what the password was.
If I could just stop you there. For those of you that are listening, yes, this is the power of God. I mean, we're talking about stuff most individuals have never even heard exist. Yet the power of God transcends the ability for the enemy to keep Jesus out of people's lives, to keep restoration, to keep salvation out. And so I just want to just think that's so awesome. But I'm sorry, please continue.
So God puts in the password, and it is like going to C prompt on a computer, which is the base. So you put in the command. So this is the older model. There's different models. So then I said, I had her sit at my computer, my physical computer, and I said, list directories. That's what you would put in there if you were a computer, because it's divided into categories. So I said, list categories. So she started typing the categories on my computer that was on her mind. It was really amazing. Now, she did this with her eyes shut. Her eyes actually blinked like the red light on your hard drive. It actually blinked, and it was really amazing to watch. But she would list, and she ended up listing like 300 categories. And it all had a name. All the 300 categories had a name. So I just randomly said, open file 276. So then she started typing word for word what was in file 276. So I said, print file 276. So she's typing with her eyes closed and her eyes blinking just like a hard drive of a computer. And she's typing away just so the fastest I've ever seen. And she lists the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And, of course, this is in Tampa, Florida. And if you go to the Federal Depository in Dallas, Texas, the building where Lee Harvey Oswald was and had a rifle, they turned that into a memorial for John F. Kennedy. And every floor is more information on the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, in the second to the last billboard that describes the assassination of John F. Kennedy is a little plaque. Everybody can go there and see it. And on this plaque, it said this. It says, it was reported that Frank Traficante, the head of the mafia in Tampa, Florida, had two hitmen drive to Miami and then fly by airplane to Dallas and assassinated John F. Kennedy. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that
in fact,
is.
If you go to the official John F. Kennedy Library in this building, it has a map of all of the theories of why John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And one of them is called the Frank Trafficante theory of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. So here it is.
Amazing.
The theory is that someone in the Illuminati told the head of the Chicago Mafia that he was telling things to Marilyn Monroe that he shouldn't. So then the head of the Chicago Mafia told Frank Trafficante, the head of the Mafia in Tampa, to kill John F. Kennedy to silence him. So two men drove south to Alligator Alley, it's called, and then across Alligator Alley to Miami. They took a plane direct to Dallas. A car was waiting for them. They drove. One had a rifle on the grassy knoll, and one of them had a rifle in the sewer. The sewers are real big. And if you notice, when JFK was shot, the top of his head flew backwards. If he was shot by Lee Harvey Oswald from the high up in the depository building, he would not have shot up backwards, because I went and checked the whole thing. So if he was shot from down under the sewer, where he stuck the rifle from underneath it, you will see that his top of his head would fly upwards and backwards, just exactly like it did. Anyway, that is what the Illuminati does. They assassinate people, even in government, for specific reasons, because they want to keep things secret.
Right.
They want to take control of the United States for the Antichrist. They want to do it secretly. You know, it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
We know more about the wife of a U.S. president 100 years ago than we know about President Obama. Why would he spend over $1 million to hide all of his college records? No one does that. Romney's records are open to the public, but you haven't heard that on television. Why would someone pay, and someone said it was as much as $3 million, for a bunch of lawyers to hide all of his college records? That's very strange. Where's the transparency that he claims? So I believe in the full transparency for everybody.
Sure.
This is good for the gander. I'm a registered independent. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I just want the facts. I am a Christian, so I think like a Christian, so I want to see how to fix Christianity and Christian principles, in no matter what it is.
Amen.
I'm everybody can go to usdebtclock.org, that's usdebtclock.org, and you'll see that the debt in the United States is now $16.1 trillion. In the last 4 years, Obama has raised that debt by $5.1 trillion. And out of every dollar that we spend, Obama borrows 43 cents, mainly from the Japanese and the Chinese. There's evidence that that they want to slow down and maybe eventually go to zero of buying U.S. Treasury bonds, which pays our debt. If that happens, we are in trouble. We're actually already in trouble now. The U.S. debt is greater than our revenue.
Yes. Yes, it is.
For example, right now, on the U.S. debt clock, the U.S. tax revenue is $2.4 trillion. But Obama has got us into $5.1 trillion debt the last 4 years. So that's double what our revenue is. So it's going to be impossible. And I also want to warn your listeners, starting January the 1st will be the greatest tax increase in the history of the United States. I just did a seminar on it. I quoted all the government documents. And it will be at least $800 more dollars per taxpayer. And so they can say all they want to on television.
Wow.
But most of it is a lie. Most of what politicians say, unfortunately, is a lie. Starting January the 1st, we will have, in the United States, the small and the great, the greatest tax increase in history. And nobody's mentioning that on the news. But it is true. I challenge people to disprove me.
And, you know,
go ahead.
It's just so clear. And the thing is, when the United States begins to have financial problems, it really is going to have ramifications throughout the whole world simply because of the interconnectedness of all of these global economies, with, you know, the U.S. dollar still kind of being the petrodollar. And it you know, when you look in the Bible, what you see is you see, you know, seven seals in the book of Revelation, and the third one happens to be the riding of a black horse, which really speaks to economic collapse. And you know, I don't know how close this new tax hike is going to take us, but, you know, if nothing else, being good stewards, I think that we should all take heed to what Dr. Preston is saying and prepare to say, yeah, well, we have to make sure that our financial situation, what we're looking at spending and saving and stuff, is going to actually be sufficient to carry us through, because God will provide, but we need to be good stewards in season, out of season, and hear him when he's speaking through his watchmen. Go ahead.
Yes, this is, I actually have a degree in finance. Plus I have two doctor's degrees. You know, people talk about the 1% is not doing their fair share. Actually, the top 5% of Americans who have the highest revenue already pay 70% of all of the taxes in the United States. The top 5% pay 70% of all of the tax revenue in the United States. So that means the rest, the 95%, only pay 30% of all the other taxes. So when the president talks about being fair, well, that's a smokescreen. That's not fair in anybody's book. And most small businesses are going to be hurt greatly, and that's going to affect unemployment. Unemployment has been over 8% since Obama has been president. Some economists are predicting that after January, unemployment could get as high is 50%. Now, during the Great Depression, unemployment was 25%. The numbers that you hear on the evening news is called the U3 number. That is a distorted number. It is not accurate. It is government manipulating numbers to make it look better than it really is. It is called, and anybody can look this up, it's called the U3 number. The U6 number is really what it is. The U6 number, which is the same compared to the Great Depression number of 25%, unemployment is really over 16%. So that means we're very close. We're very close to another depression in the United States, and most people don't realize it. The only reason we're not is because we have unemployment, we have food stamps and welfare. Almost 47 million Americans are on food stamps. We have 1.3 million bankruptcies now in the United States, and 882,146 foreclosures. The total, and I challenge anybody to disprove these numbers, the total U.S. unfunded liabilities, that means what we owe, is $120 trillion. Now, there's not that much money in all the United States, so that means what we owe. So starting January the 1st, the gravy train is over. In fact, starting January the 1st, the liability per U.S. taxpayer is $1,055,723. So are you ready to pay your $1 million? That's just for 1 year.
Yeah, these numbers are not fictitious, listeners. This is all going towards one thing, which we know is coming, and it's going to be called the collapse of the U.S. dollar. The debt that's on top of the dollar will never be paid. It will what they call die, and so to speak. And because the numbers that he's throwing out, as fantastic as they may seem, are the real picture. That this is the real problem. And please continue.
Democrats have come out this week and expressed concern over Obama's plan if he's reelected next year, because he's going to tax everything in sight, because there's no way we can pay off $16.1 trillion U.S. debt, and there's no way we can pay off $120 trillion in unfunded liabilities like Medicare and Social Security and prescription drugs. So what Obama's plan next year is to devalue the U.S. dollar by 50%. So in other words, if you go out and buy a sandwich for $10, when he devalues the U.S. dollar, that same identical sandwich will cost you $15, and it'll taste the exact same, but you have to pay 50% more. That's what devaluation of the U.S. dollar. So, and then the prices of commodities, food, grain, all these others are going to go sky high. In fact, right now, milk has gone up, cheese has gone up, pork bellies have gone up, bacon. There's actually a shortage of bacon in the United States. So that's going to go sky high. Food and food commodities are going to go sky high. And we're right on the edge of what is called hyperinflation. Inflation is when prices go up. Hyperinflation is when it goes up a lot very fast, like it happened in Brazil or Nazi Germany, or in Zimbabwe right now. In Zimbabwe, I've got a $2 trillion bill from Zimbabwe. It's a real currency. If I go there, I can spend it. I have a $2 trillion bill from Zimbabwe. Now, here's what it'll buy me. It'll buy me 3 eggs. That is hyperinflation. And did you know that also for next year, Obama and his advisors are talking about taxing IRAs and 401ks. I saw a tentative bill in which he's planning on 80% of your IRA will be taxed, and only 20% of it will be tax-free. In Argentina, a few years ago, the president of the country, in order to pay their great U.S. debt, they confiscated everyone's retirement, program. They confiscated it. People, this election, better do research and find out. Starting January the 1st, we'll have the greatest tax increase in the history of the United States. You don't go by what someone says, you go by what someone does. Anybody, you know, there's a joke about politicians. They promise the moon and deliver moon cheese. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, then, you know,
I challenge anybody to prove me wrong, because I've already done my research, and that's what it's going to be.
For those of you that are listening, you're probably wondering, like, wow, man, with all of this information, with all of this, maybe you've never even heard this before. I don't know where you are at personally. Dr. Preston, can you maybe give our listeners one or two directions as far as what they can do to kind of protect themselves against being hurt more than necessary by these things? Because as soon as you do that, I do want to come back to what we kind of drifted from, which...
Okay.
But please, for our listeners' sake.
Let me give some practical suggestions, because I go places and speak on this before large groups. According to records from Homeland Security, they have ordered... This is public knowledge. Any government agency, what they do, they have to fill out all these forms. So this is public knowledge. This is not made-up conspiracy theory. They have ordered close to 1 billion bullets. Now, this is for Homeland Security. This is not for the U.S. military. This is for Homeland Security. For example, TSA at the airports is under Homeland Security. So they've ordered 1 billion bullets, but they're very specific. They're hollow points, which means when they're fired, they're meant to kill the person and not just injure them. In fact, the bullets they've ordered, the government has ordered, you cannot get them because they're illegal, because they cause so much damage. Well, Why is Homeland Security ordering so many bullets? Well, the logical answer is they must expect a lot of civil disobedience in the United States. So why would they expect so much civil disobedience in the United States? The answer is only that when the taxes become the highest ever, there will be a shortage of food. In the Midwest right now, that's where my mother lives, in the Midwest, the drought caused a loss of 50% of the crops. So this is going to show up in December or January of next year. When there's a shortage of food, food is going to go sky high, and the poor who cannot pay for what they're used to or cannot get it, then they're going to protest and they're going to riot. And that explains why Homeland Security also ordered 3,000 traffic stations that they put in the middle of an intersection. It's bulletproof glass with a red and green light, so that evidently in 3,000 locations they have planned to stop traffic and check cars one by one as they go through. Well, that's what people do in war.
Mm-hmm.
In any country where there's a war, that's what they do. They do that in Iraq today. They do that in Afghanistan. They do that in Syria. Homeland Security is expecting a lot of riots. So people need to have some means to protect themselves, because if there's a shortage of food in the inner city, where are they going to go? After they've rioted in the middle city, where are they going to go?
Yeah.
They're going to go to the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So people in the suburbs need to have means of protecting themselves. Also, you need to make sure you store food and water if there's a shortage of food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm in Florida. We have hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a hurricane coming, all the food on the shelves will be gone in 3 hours. In 3 hours, all the food will be gone. If a storm occurs and blocks the road, we will get no more new food until the roads are reopened. If there's a shortage of food, then you can't make a food out of thin air. So there won't be any more food until new food is produced on farms or they get it from overseas, which will take a while to get here. So people need to have some means to protect themselves, some food. The cheapest food anybody can buy, you can buy 20 pounds of rice for $10.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Sam's, Walmart, Costco, and get... The other day, I got 50 pounds of rice for $20.61.
Wow.
You need to plan at least for 3 months.
Okay.
You can get canned food and rice and other things. And if there is a total financial collapse, which many economists think, then you need... city water supplies may shut off, so you need to find at least some means where you can get water and have it filtered or something. But the top commodities expert in the world is named Jim Rogers. Jim Rogers wrote an article this last week. He said, coming very shortly will be a global financial collapse. He says the debt of the United States is so great it can never be paid off. He said, for all practical purposes, the United States is bankrupt right now. His name is Jim Rogers. He was on CNBC News when he said this. So this is not some wild imagination. He wrote the book on buying and selling commodities. So he says that there will be a total financial collapse and the value of the dollar will plummet. And by the way, George Soros last week sold all of his stock and put it into gold or cash.
Very, very interesting. And, you know, there's been a lot of people sounding the alarm on gold and silver recently. And, man, you know, it's just so important. But we're going to go to break. When we come back from break, we're going to begin to talk a little bit more about some of the things that Dr. Preston has encountered in the people that he counsels more recently. We're going to talk a little bit about, I want to talk a little bit about nanotechnology, touch on dimensions, and even time travel. So don't miss it. Join us in a few minutes back on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
For the United States of America.
Get Pat Robertson's newest DVD teaching, God's Plan for America, How to Prepare for the Days Ahead. In it, you will discover how America is built on a Christian foundation, how America became the greatest country on earth, and what we can do to see the favor of God bless our land. God's Plan for America. Just click on the banner below or go to CBN.com.
Thanks for listening to the all-new CBN Praise on CBN.com.
All right, we're back for our last segment of Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Now, we've been talking with Dr. Preston Bailey about a wide variety of things. Man, you know, and he has just been enlightening us with a lot of information regarding current events, things going on behind the scenes, and we're going to come back now to a topic that he deals with quite a bit, which involves working with people that have suffered from dissociative identity disorder and other ailments that are coming out of deep occult groups, including the Illuminati. Now, what I want to jump into is to have you explain, Dr. Preston, the difference in methods of programming as they've moved from I guess what you could call a lot of rituals and demonization to now high technology and even what you've encountered as nanotechnology.
Yes, I mainly counsel now those that are it's called highly complex SRADID. That means someone that developed dissociative identity disorder from high level satanic ritual abuse, and they're highly complex, which means their system is more scientific and it is very complex. What that means is they may have 1,000 or more alters. And it's very complex. They have passwords and everything. They're in, it's filled with, at each level of their brain, with very complicated scientific concepts such as quantum mechanics that is programming on the small atomic and subatomic level, which is the quantum realm, and most Christians have trouble understanding this, but think about this. When World War II was over with, the top scientist in Nazi Germany did not want to go to Russia, so they came to the United States, and they worked for NASA. In fact, the top rocket scientist in Nazi Germany, after a few years here, became the director of NASA at Huntsville, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, as a kid, I didn't live too far from there, and we would drive by Wernher von Braun's house. Wernher von Braun was the top rocket scientist and was instrumental in helping the United States land on the moon. Just think, he was the Nazi scientist, top Nazi scientist in Germany.
Yeah.
And he filled in his front yard with concrete and painted it green so he wouldn't have to cut it. And my father, in college, had two different classes under two of the Nazi scientists.
Interesting.
So it's true, under Operation Paperclip,
mm-hmm.
scientists came to the United States and were settled in, as many as 3,000 and their families. And of course, now these Nazi scientists, of course, Illuminati beliefs are basically a Nazism belief system.
Okay.
But the Illuminati, many of the people in their family, is what it's called, are in very strategic positions in the U.S. military. And in leadership in all branches of the U.S. military, in science, just like the word Nazi Germany. and in education, and I mentioned earlier universities. So it's very easy for them to hide in the government. If the U.S. government made one of the most dangerous men in the world, Wernher von Braun, the director of NASA at Huntsville, within a few years, just imagine what else has gone on today that the general public does not know about.
Hmm.
So they,
you know,
they
only wonder.
The main branches of government in the military, in education and science. So therefore, they have developed modern and advanced techniques for programming people. They still use hypnosis and drug therapy, but that's kind of baby stuff to them. They use advanced computers, and they use electronic equipment. They've actually designed electronic equipment that can program a person from a distance. What that means is, I just read a book by a scientist who works for the government, and these kind of things were his job, was designing equipment to affect and control the brain. So they now have electronic equipment that can affect and control the brain. And he said that the CIA has the brainwave frequencies of 100 million Americans. Now, the importance of that, of the brainwave frequency, or signature, as it's called, of the brain, is once they know your vibration frequency that your brain emits, it's an electrical charge, they can adjust their equipment to match your brainwave frequency and slowly adjust it and input across the electromagnetic spectrum. They can download into your brain certain information. For example, the electromagnetic spectrum is the spectrum of light and energy that goes through the air. For example, your television set, you see the picture on your screen, but you do not see the electromagnetic energy sent through the air to your dish that goes into your television set. It's invisible. So those are invisible particles or waves, and this interaction of energy and matter in the invisible realm is called quantum physics or quantum mechanics. And it gets very microscopic. So Illuminati scientists have advanced in their study of quantum mechanics so that they are 20 years advanced of what is taught in universities and hospitals. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So because they're so advanced, they can actually reprogram a person from a distance with their advanced wave machines and electronic equipment, as long as they know the brainwave frequency or signature of a person's brain. So they have equipment that can affect the weather and many other things. People say, well, you can't make equipment that controls the weather. Well, that's a naive statement, because when the Olympics was held in China, on the evening news, said, we have equipment that has been developed that can control the weather, so there is not going to be a lot of rain. And there was not.
Interesting. So
many countries claim to have equipment right now to control or modify the weather.
Sure.
So if you can create equipment to control and modify the weather from a distance, just imagine what else you can do or control or modify from a distance with electronic equipment that can affect different parts of the brain. The brain just runs on electricity. In fact, the brain is the miracle of God. A neuron, a brain cell, is simply a thin membrane with chemicals inside where the memories are held, and it has an electrical charge. That's what your brain is. That's what a memory is. So if you could do something to adjust the chemicals of your brain or adjust slightly the electrical charge, you can control the way the brain thinks.
So what you have been saying is that they are actually using this technology, and you've actually encountered people, counseled people, that have been subjected to this kind of problem, really.
Yes, almost every day I counsel this. I counsel people in North America, not just the United States.
Right.
I counseled one woman who was young, and they injected her with what's called nanobites.
Mm-hmm.
Nanobites are very small robots. I talked with one of the directors of a nanotechnology laboratory.
Okay.
And he showed me exactly what they do. And nanotechnology is the medicine of the future. Let me explain it to your listeners so they can understand it. Nanotechnology is like a nanorobot smaller than the head of a pin. It is just a miniature robot, and it is composed. It's a little computer that is programmed to do different things. So they can design a very small robotic computer, is the best way to understand it. And you can program it to say, eat only cancer cells. So with a needle they inject it in the bloodstream, and hundreds of these nanobites go through your bloodstream, every cancer cell they scan, they just eat it. They just crunch it up. That's what they're programmed to do. And 24 hours after they've eaten all the cancer cells in your body, they go out as waste. So you don't have cancer anymore. Mm-hmm. Whatever your medical problem is, that's what nanobite technology can do. They've even made a nanobite guitar that is the size of the head of a pin, and it can play.
Wow.
So the problem is designing the equipment that is small enough to make the nanobite, which is a miniaturized robotic computer. So these, just imagine, robotic computers programmed to do whatever you want them to go throughout your body. And it can be for medical purposes, it can be for psychological purposes, to program you to do a specific job.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman was, someone broke into her house, and two men working for the Illuminati injected her with nanobots to try to reprogram her, because she became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
She got out of the Illuminati. So when we discovered it, she had clearly the mark on her hip.
Hmm.
We prayed against it.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed that God would send an electrical charge to short out those robots, and that they would not function, and that they would go out of the body as human waste.
Hmm.
And 24 hours, she was fine.
Wow. That's an amazing story. And the thing is, you know, a lot of people would not imagine that this could actually happen, that this kind of technology is actually already available. And, you know, you mentioned that the Illuminati have been, like, you know, right now, you said 20 years ahead of anything that's known as far as what's being taught in universities or colleges. What I want to do is, I just want to, like, because we only have 10 minutes left, actually,
okay.
Nine. So I just want to let you touch on one particular case where you have run into a person claiming not only interaction with other dimensions, so to speak, but also some, you could say, time travel. So I know it's only about, like, 10 minutes, but please, if you could just share a little bit on that.
Well, that's a vast subject, so let me try to be as simple as possible. Quantum physicists now have developed what is called string theory.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest proponents of string theory is the famous scientist Stephen Hawking, the one in the wheelchair, who's written books on this subject. String theory tries to reconcile quantum mechanics and general relativity from Albert Einstein. In other words, the laws relating to general relativity are a little bit different than the laws relating to quantum physics. It is like someone I was talking to yesterday that's a scientist coming out of the Illuminati. She said, in different realms, there's different rules. So in the dimension in which we live, the dimension of Earth, the atmosphere of Earth in our dimension, it is unique. The atmosphere of the Earth is totally different than the atmosphere on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
The laws on Mars would be a little bit different than the laws on Earth. The laws in a black hole are different than the laws on Earth. Well, anyway, scientists, a philosopher said back in the 1200s that there was at least 10 dimensions. That was a philosopher,
mm-hmm.
a Greek philosopher. But today, quantum scientists say there's at least 10 dimensions. And in these dimensions, they have their own rules of the way things are done. For example, at the Hadron Collider in Switzerland,
mm-hmm.
they spend bi- billions of dollars looking for what they call the God particle, the type of energy source that may have been used in the creation of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, very simply, in quantum physics, this Earth, this universe we live in, functions on an invisible microscopic level. We don't see the burst of cosmic rays from the sun, but they are there. There are what's called neutrinos, which is an atomic particle that gives off a neutral charge, so it can go through a planet without hardly slowing down because it has a neutral charge, and there's nothing to slow it down. But anyway, time travel is what you're referring to. I don't really like to call it time travel.
Okay.
Because there is no such thing as time.
Okay.
Scientifically, there is no such thing as time. There is what scientists call space-time.
Okay.
So time is only known if you know the space, the dimension in which it is located. For example, the time above the Earth is actually different than the time on the Earth. Now, let me prove that to you in a simple way.
Okay. We only have 2 minutes, by the way.
Okay. Most people don't know this, but out west, there's an Air Force base that controls the satellites, which affect global positioning system around the Earth. Because time is different in space than on Earth, they have to adjust these satellites 6 or 7 times a day so that the time is different because of space, because of the space that it's located on. So time is based on space-time. So if you have the element of gravity plus space plus time and the coordinates of any place in the past or future, if you have an energy source based on the time-space continuum, you can travel there.
Wow.
It's more called teleportation, you see.
Hmm.
So, some of those that I counsel in the Illuminati say that certain people have the composition with their equipment that they can travel into future space-time in limited scenarios.
Wow.
So it's not like what we see on TV, but that's related to quantum physics and teleportation. By the way, scientists have been able to teleport an object 154 kilometers. This is actual. It just happened.
That's incredible. Well, oh, go ahead.
So if that is known publicly, just imagine what is accomplished that is hidden from the public.
Well, I think you just said it right there. Folks, we're just about out of time. Just incredible. Just the idea of some of these things that are being hinted at. And I tell you what, in the future, what we are talking about today, what we've just barely touched on, it's going to come out much more clearly, obviously, but also, I believe, is going to be involved in a lot of what the enemy really has planned for the last days. So what I want to do is say thank you so much, Dr. Preston, for joining us today. If you could just throw out your website for anyone that wants to get a hold of you, and then we will be closing out.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to be on with you, Daniel. My website is spiritualwarfarecenter.com, Spiritual Warfare Center, and my book is